Good evening, everybody. Tonight's shiur will be, to a certain extent, a follow-up on some of our other classes, shiurim, that we have been discussing. The specific item in Shaila that I'd like to address this evening is one who finds himself in a different shul with a nusach in the shul that is different from your nusach. The previous year, we discussed somebody changing a nusach from that of his father. Parent, father, daven's nusach Ashkenaz, and you daven nusach Sfarad. Is that permitted, or is there propriety in changing one's nusach to or from Ashkenaz to Sfarad and vice versa? This evening specifically, we're going to address whether or not it's permitted or what a person should do in a situation, a scenario where your personal nusach is different than the nusach of the shul that you find yourself in. It could be a Jew from Lithuania moving to Spain, or in our day and age, a Jew from America moving to Eretz Yisrael, vice versa, where you're going from Sfarad to Ashkenaz, or Nusul Sfarad to Ashkenaz, or Sfarad to Ashkenaz, and vice versa. What's the appropriate thing to do? This question is not terribly addressed in the early Rishonim, certainly not in the times and generation where there was a Rav, and everybody was davening in one shul under the same nusach that people found themselves in, and the constituency was the same. The question really is a question that began to develop is when Jewish communities became destructive. Certainly it comes up post the Spanish Inquisition. There are many tshuvas written about the different customs that developed regarding various halachas, minhagim. Tefillah as well is amongst those questions that are addressed. How should many people who are coming from the various different towns, Hungary, Lithuania, Russia, Eastern Europe, and the like, how should an individual daven in a shul that's different than his, or how should we establish a shul, or can a shul change its nusach when the community or the membership itself changes? These are all questions that have to be addressed, but as mentioned, they are not very, very heavily addressed, and the most prominent discussion of this is found in a significant number of tshuvas of Moshe Feinstein, and Chalakin Beis, Gimel, and Dalit of Or HaChaim and Moshe's response, Agus Moshe. Much of our discussion tonight, this evening, will be surrounding his psakim on this shaila, and we will begin with the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Samech Ches, Sifkat and Dalit, quotes the Magen Avraham, the Prima Gadim, who quote Arizal. Arizal is a source which we discussed in a variety of different shurim thus far. Arizal famously mentions that Yud Beis Sharim B'Shamayim Neged Yud Beis Shvatim. There are 12 gates in heaven that are corresponding to the 12 Shvatim. V'chol Shevet Yesh Lo Shar U'Minhag Levad. And every shar, every gate, has its own tribe, and every tribe has its own custom. And each custom is absolutely positively finds its holy source in the right place. And each Shevet and each shar is a funnel and a path and an avenue to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Nusach is a way that each community represents itself. Klal Yisrael is a large tapestry, a painting, a puzzle, and we all fit into the bigger picture, and the same thing is true when it comes to Nusach, and each Nusach has its Mekor B'Shamayim, and each Nusach is important. That is the opinion of the Arizal. However, based upon that comment, the Mishnah Berurah writes as follows, and this is a cryptic line in the Mishnah Berurah, where he writes, "U'inyan dina ba'halacha," says the Mishnah Berurah, "Ashkenazim ha'mispalalim im ha'sfardim," an Ashkenazi who davens with a Sfardi, or hefech, or Sfardim, who daven with Ashkenazim, yatsu de chovas tefillah. One has fulfilled his obligation if he davens in his own nosach, even if it's in a shul that has a different nosach. So if I'm an Ashkenaz Jew, and I daven a Sfardi shul, or I'm a Sephardi Jew, and I daven an Ashkenazi shul, and I maintain the nusach of my tradition, Ashkenaz or Sfard, albeit that I'm davening in a different shul that has a different nusach than my nusach, Yatsu Dechovas Tefillah, says the Mishnah Berurah, I have fulfilled my halachic obligation of tefillah. Now, what's difficult and cryptic about the Mishnah Berurah is number one, he doesn't quote a source, and the Mishnah Berurah regularly quotes sources, but as mentioned, there's very little source material to deal with this question because Sfarim and Ashkenazim never lived together, and when they did, they davened in their separate shul. There was a Sephardi shul, there was an Ashkenazi shul, there was a Hungarian shul, and there was a Lithuanian shul, and every base medrash had its own nusach tefillah. So it was very few and far between the situation that arose when Sephardim and Ashkenazim were davening in the same base medrash. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote a source that says this, number one. Number two, he only says, Yatsi Dechol is tefillah. The one has fulfilled his obligation of tefillah.
But the Mishmaru doesn't say whether that's l'chatchila or whether that's b'evet. What should I do? Okay, I've fulfilled my obligation to daven. If I've davened my own personal private nosach in a shul that has a different nosach than mine, I daven Ashkenaz. I find myself in an Eidus Mizrach or in a Sfarad shul, so I daven Ashkenaz. So I was yotzei d'lechos tefillah. But what should I do? What's the l'chatchila? That the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say. If you look in the second source, and this is a Sefer Chutshani, the Reb Nissen Karel Shlita of Bnei Brak, one of the Gedolei HaDor, one of the Ziknei Hora, in the end of his Sefer on the Mo'adim, he has a Sefer where he writes Piskei Halacha on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Chanukah, and in the end he has a few short pages, Binyani Isra Heter, where he discusses Pesach Halacha, and in there he says something fascinating. He does not refer to this Mishnah Berurah specifically, but he says that he heard from an elderly gentleman who heard from a son of the Chafetz Chaim what the Pesach of the Chafetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah, was in the Shiloh. So although the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say explicitly what the Lechatchila is and what you should do in this situation, but Reb Nissen Karelis says that he heard from an elderly man who heard from the son of the Chafetz Chaim what you should do. And he writes, Sheshama Mimno Shorabeinu Chafetz Chaim, Sheamar Hora B'Shem Adif, Shlokasu B'Mishnah Berurah, the son of the Mishnah Berurah, the son of Chafetz Chaim himself, Kagan, who died in 1933, heard a psak from the Chafetz Chaim, something that he did not explicitly write in the Mishnah Berurah, as you just saw. She called davar shehatzibur omen, anything that the congregation recites and says. V'chil v'amirasu rak machmas hatzibur, and the recitation that is being said is coming as a result of the chiyuv of machmas hatzibur. It's something that requires the quorum, kimo kedusha. You have to recite that area, that part of tefillah that requires a minyan, that requires a quorum, like kedusha, like the minyan that you're davening in. Even though I could daven if I'm an Ashkenaz, a Jew, and I daven my own nusach, Ashkenaz, psukki de zimra, berchas kriyashma, my silent shmona esrei. But when it comes to the things that require a minyan, and that, by the way, couldn't even mean silent shmona esrei, because I need a tzibur to yotze chovas tefillah berabim, I need a minyan, that says, Reb Nissen Karelis, are the things that I can recite privately, those things that don't need a minyan, I can say my own nusach. And it doesn't require a minyan. So it's okay to say my nusach. But when it comes to things that require a tzibur, the example he gives explicitly is kedusha. It sounds like he would say the silent shmona esrei, I could have in my own nusach. When it comes to those things that require a tzibur, those things specifically have to be said like the tzibur. Now why? What's the basis? So Reb Nissen Karel says it's not because of the din, the halacha of los hiskodudur, shalos te agudos agudos, that there shouldn't be factions when it comes to halacha minhagim. That's not why. Because he says when it comes to nusach that is being said out loud, or that things that require a tzibur, not necessarily will somebody necessarily pick up on it. But he says mishum shekol davar shehatzibur mechayev amiraso tzarach l'amar kamosam, anything that you need the tzibur for, and the only way that you have a minyan is coming machmas, the rest of the 10 people in the minyan, that you are required to recite like them. Because if it wasn't for the 10, you wouldn't have a minyan. So once Kiddush requires 10 people, once Baruch Hu requires 10 people, once Kaddish requires 10 people, so since I am able to daven as a result of those 10, therefore I have to follow that custom and that tradition. Says, listen, this is his Pesach Halach L'maisa, Kaddish, when it comes to Kaddish, Chiyav Amirasu, Gamke Machmas Tzibur, that the only way I can say Amen and Yesh Mei Rabba and recite a Kaddish is coming as a result of the Tzibur, Tzarech L'Amra B'Nusach Shalhem, the Nusach that has to be recited is the Nusach of the Tzibur that has the 10. The example that he gives, Shemispalim Tzibur HaMispalim Nusach Svard, if I'm part of a minion that is Davni Nusach Svard, Yomar B'Kaddish V'Yatzmach Purkane, the Yatzmach Purkane, which is the added line in the Nusach Svard, Kaddish should be recited even on Ashkenaz. And Ashkenazim don't say Yatzmach Purkane V'Kar Mishichai. We skip that line. But since Kaddish requires a quorum, and the quorum is coming as a result of Nusach Svard, therefore I have to recite Yatzmach Purkane. Oh, in Mushliach Tzibur, if I'm davening for the Amud, Yomar Kaddishim Shem Omrim, I have to say the Kaddish the way that Tzibur recites the Kaddish in that particular shul. If it's a Nusach Svard minyan and they recite Kaddish before Baruch Hu, you have to do that as well. well. But if I'm davening the parts of the field that I have a tradition and do not necessarily require minyan, i.e., psuki de zimra, or the na'anurim shibulullah yasekim in hago. This is a chiddush in Nissen Karel, passing like an Aruch HaShulchan, and other achon will say that na'anurim are an essential part of the tzibah, and it's not a na'anurim for the dalad minyan when it comes to halal. And therefore, since those things don't require a tzibur, if I'm at home or in a place that doesn't require minyan, so of course I could take my lulav and shake it. So since that doesn't require a minyan, I could do the na'anurim the way I do the na'anurim, even though it's not like the rest of the tzibur. This is the opinion of Rav Nissen Karelitz, that whenever we're dealing with a tefillah that requires a tzibur, that requires a quorum, if I'm in a shul that's different than my nusach, kedusha, kaddish, baruch hu, those things have to be recited like the tzibur, the shul that I find myself in. So an Ashkenazi Jew finds himself in a Sephardi shul, has to recite, if you're one who is an avel, one who is davening for the amud, should recite b'yasmach b'kani b'kar mishicha. When it comes to the kedusha, and if I'm an Ashkenazi Jew davening the nusach svar, I should say keser, and kedusha, I say na'aritzcha in kedusha, not nikadesh, and not na'aritzcha. That's when it comes to the things that require a tzibur. But the things that are private and personal, psukei dezimra, berachos kriyashma, the Ashrei Olatzion, when it comes to the different nuschos, the different words that are added or taken away in the variety of nuschos atzvila, since those are things that don't require tzibur, so Rav Nissen Karel paskins that it's unnecessary, and this, he says, is the psak of the late of Yitzchayim, the Mishnah Berurah, even though it's not written explicitly in the Mishnah Berurah, this was the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah. So although the Mishnah Berurah says, Yoyotze Chovas Tzvila, if I daven as a Ashkenazi in a Sephardi shul, or a Sephardi in an Ashkenazi shul, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't tell you the chatzchila what you should do. But here it says from Nissen Karel, he heard from the son of the Chafetz Chaim, from an old man who heard from the son of the Chafetz Chaim, that the appropriate thing to do is, as we just mentioned, the things that require tzibur should be said to tzibur, like the tzibur that you're in, and the things that do not require tzibur do not necessarily have to be recited like the tzibur. That is the approach of the Mishnah Berurah, number one, and number two, as cited by Rav Nissen Karel, who heard from a Zaken, who heard from the son of the Mishnah Berurah. The third source is the Igros Moshe, and the Igros Moshe is going to be the next four sources that we're going to discuss this evening. As mentioned, the Moshe in Chalak and Beis, Dalet and Gimel discusses these Shailot, and the Shailot was raised from Moshe in Chalak Dalet of Or HaChaim, Siman Lamed and Gimel, was regarding membership in a shul, where there are a group of individuals who daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and they wanted to join a shul that daven Nusach Sfarad. And the question that was raised to Rav Moshe is the board, the membership, the constituents were not interested in taking this group of Ashkenazi Jews, there are four Jews, or Ashkenazic descent, and who wanted to join the Nusach Sfarad shul, and they felt that maybe it was inappropriate, because how can we have members who are davening a different Nusach than our Nusach HaTfilah? And they asked Rav Moshe whether they could take these four men as members of the shul, albeit that they daven a different Nusach. That's the shaila that was raised to Rav Moshe. Says Rav Moshe, "V'ein inyan anuschos osachilut b'zeh. Nusach has no effect on membership in a shul. The kol hanuschos im shavim. All nuschos are equivalent. L'kiyum mitzvah satila. When it comes to fulfilling one tchilu for tfila, ula hakedusha and reciting kedusha. V'yeshu kol nusach makor al kol teva v'teva. Every nusach has a source, has a place that's where it's coming from, and has a holy source. Every word that is in the particular text or that's not in the different text has a reason and basis and source for it. Ben al pi nigla, ben al pi nister, whether it's a revealed source or whether it's a Kabbalistic source. Mitam zeh, says Rav Moshe Issa b'Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi says, af al pi sheshalachnu lechem seder tefilas al pishanim b'minig avaseichem. It's a famous Yerushalmi that's quoted regularly on the topic of Nusach and Minhagim, that even though we have a tradition of Nusach HaTzilah from Anshei Knesset Agdola, when it comes to Minhagim, stick to the Minhag of you, the place that you find yourself in. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, Bidvarm Shein Tzarech Lomer B'Kol Ram, things that don't require and are not said out loud, Ve'in HaDerech Lomer B'Kol Ram, and things that are not regularly said out loud, Yasa Kimin Hago, you should do like you do. So if I'm an Ashkenaz person and I'm davening in the Nusach Sfarad Shul, when it comes to things that are said silently that do not require to be said out loud or are not said out loud, those things I could do like my Nusach. Well, however, says Rav Moshe, but Rav Shneimar Mikol Rab, things that are said out loud, Bein Medina Bein Midera Cholam, whether it's customary to say these things out loud, whether that's what I do, whether that's what many people do, or what some people do, Tzarech Le'Hispal B'Nusach HaTzibur. So Moshe has a different Svara than Rav Nissim Karelitz, but he has the same conclusion. Rav Moshe says anything that requires that is mentioned out loud, that is said out loud, those are things that you have to say, like the tzibur, things that are mentioned privately and silently, you don't. So take Psuki de Zimra, or take Birchas Kriya Shema, which are things that don't, are not necessarily said out loud. According to Rav Moshe, you could say them quietly in your own personal nusach. Things that are said out loud, like Kaddish, Kedusha, and the like, those things are absolutely, certainly said out loud, those things you should daven like the nusach of the tzibur that you're in. So Rav Moshe and Rav Nissim Karelitz wind up with the same halachic conclusion, but for two different reasons. According to Rav Nissim Karelitz, the things that have to be said, like the tzibur, the shul that you're in, even though it's a different nusach than yours, are the things that require a quorum, a minyan. According to Rav Moshe, the things that require to be said out loud are those items or those parts of tefillah that are said out loud. Now, in a variety of things, Rav Moshe, Rav Nissim Karelitz are going to be on the same page. For example, Kedusha requires a quorum and it has to be said out, and it's said out loud. They would both agree that that should be said like the shul you're in. Kaddish, for example, is something that is said out loud and requires a minyan. They'd both be on the same board about that. What about Shmon Esrei? Now, Shmon Esrei both doesn't require a quorum, and at the same time is not said aloud. Seemingly, both of them would hold that that's something that you could say in your own personal nusach. But let's say Psukei DeZimra, Birchas Kriya Shema, where it doesn't have to be said out loud. It's not required to be said out loud, but you might, and some might. That is where it's difficult to know what Rav Moshe would say. According to Rav Nissim Karelitz, those things don't require a tzibur, Psukei DeZimra, certainly not, and that you could definitely say silently. According to Rav Moshe, we'll see a little bit more explicitly in a different tshuva what to do in that situation. What is interesting is the situation of a shliach tzibur. Shliach tzibur, who has a different nusach hatfila than the nusach of that particular shul, can he recite the silent Shmona Esrei in his own personal nusach? So that Rav Moshe says here in Chelek Talat Simen Lame Gimel, that one has to say Tzilas Halachash in the Nusach HaTzila of the Shul, because the point of the Tzilas Halachash for the Shliach Tzibur is Lahaste Tzilaso, to prepare himself to daven for the Tzibur. But if he's davening his own personal Nusach, and then he's expected to daven the Nusach of the Shul that he's in, certainly that will lead to confusion, and therefore, according to Rav Moshe, the Shliach Tzibur should daven in the Nusach HaTzibur, even the silent Shmona Esrei, for that very reason. Other Achronim argue on Rav Moshe, but that is the Psak of Rav Moshe, that even the silent Shmona Esrei should be said like the Tzibur for that very reason. Rav Moshe finishes off with a historical point in this tshuva, and this is, I believe, how we start at the outset of this evening's shir, and that is Mitchilok Shayikval Yisrael Meos Pashanim Kol Kehol Dekol B'Makamos Miuchados. Every community, every kehila b'Yisrael stayed in its own space and place. Hayadua Kol Minag Mihomo. Everybody knew the custom and of that town, of that tshuva, of that constituency. V'Nechad Hetik Mekamelis Yashiv B'Makam Acher Nasa Dina Kin Minag B'Makam Acher. If a person changed his custom or changed his place of living, so he would move to the town that he moved to, and he would change his custom. The same thing was true also regarding the Nusach HaTzil that he davened in. If he moved from point A to point B, or place A to place B, and place A had one custom, and place A had a particular Nusach, if I moved over to the town, or the city, or the community across the border, where it would be a different Nusach, I would change my Nusach HaTzil. Says Rav Moshe, things are different today. Achrei Akiras HaKilos Bavonaseinu Rabim Lo'aleinu, as a result of the Holocaust, the inferno of Europe, when everybody gathered in different cities and from different cities and wound up in one large city like New York and the like, it's impossible to force somebody to change their nusach to the nusach of another shul, because there's so many different nuschos, and there's so many people who are davening different nuschos from different places and different shuls. Therefore, we can't force you to change the nusach of the shul that you're davening in. But what we can tell you, says Rav Moshe, like I said earlier in the tshuva, that when it comes to the things that are recited out loud, but called wrong, that you should recite, like the shul that you find yourself in, but the things that don't or are not recited out loud, that you could say in your own personal nusach hatzila. Well, we haven't explicitly or directly addressed is what's the problem. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah says you're yotzei if you daven in a different nusach hatzila.
the Chofetz Chaim and Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Levracha, both say that the things that are said out loud should not be recited like your own personal nusach and should be recited like the shul that you find yourself in, either the things that are recited with Kol Ram or the things that are recited and require a tzibur. But why not? Why is one prohibited from davening a different nusach than the nusach at tefillah of the shul that you're in? Rav Moshe in Or Chaim Chelek Dalet Siman Lamed Dalet says that there are two reasons. One is an Issur D'oraisa, and one is an Issur D'rabbanan. Says Rav Moshe, Hine ha'Issur b'beis ha'Knesses achas. L'ezin shi l'shanas m'minhagei ha'makom b'dvar manikar. Hika shnei Issur. When it comes to changing the minhag from the shul that you find yourself in, there are two reasons to asr. Chada, we love the little tiskal to do. One is an instant derisive of los tiskal to do. Shenidrish bivam stafi gimel mbeis gam linen do lakasu agudos agudos vohum derisa. It's prohibited to create a situation, both in halacha and in minhag, where under one roof there are different or conflicting practices that are being practiced. That's inappropriate. That's an issur d'oraisa according to the Gemara, whether it's a minhag or whether it's halacha. We don't want people doing different things under one roof. We don't allow for that. That's asur. That's los hashkodedu. Conflicting practices in one shul is an issur d'oraisa, so therefore changing a nusach would also fall under that category and would be an issur d'oraisa. The Shainis, Moshe says, if it's not an Issa D'Raisa, it's still an Issa D'Rabbanan, Me'adin al Yishanem b'pnei ha-machlokes d'b'psachem d'afnun, v'den zehum d'Rabbanan. Based upon the Gemara and Perek Mark Mishnagu, there's an Issa D'Rabbanan based upon a concept al Yishanem b'pnei ha-machlokes. We don't want you to change because machlokes, argument will ensue. So there are two reasons that one should make sure not to do a minhag or a nusach differently from the shul that you're in. One is the Raisa, one's the Rabbanan, one is based upon los skotadu, los sasu, agudos, agudos, and the second is the problem of an issa de Rabbanan, of alishan p'nei machlokas. Says Rav Moshe, and this is what Rav Moshe discusses in a variety of different shulos. This is true both when it comes to something that is an isura ktsas, the kol shekein be isurim gemurim kol betzilim b'chol amoya. Moshe says it's an issa de Raisa, it's prohibited to daven within one shul that has some people wearing tefillin and others who are not wearing tefillin, although Rav Moshe and different shuvas did not say as explicitly and as he does here. But nonetheless, in this shuva, Rav Moshe is very clear that in one minyan, in one shul, certainly there should not be people on Chol HaMoed, some wearing tefillin, others wearing tefillin. And that is what Rav Moshe calls isurim gemurim, things that are absolutely prohibited, because for a person who wears tefillin every day, not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed in the shul that doesn't wear tefillin is the over ba'asei. He's not wearing tefillin, he's being mevatel ba'asei. And for those whose custom is not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed and they find themselves in a shul that does, so if you're going to say that they can't wear tefillin, that they should wear tefillin, then they're being over another isur, which is zil gemurim. You can't tell someone that they have to wear tefillin. So therefore, there's an isur on either end of the spectrum here, and Rav Moshe says that one should do exactly what that shul is doing. And Rav Moshe says the same thing is true when it comes to shinui nusachos. She could time him l'chol nusach v'nusach. Every nusach has its makor, as Rav Moshe said a number of times. Usher, it's usher for independent people to daven separately than from the nusach hatfil that's being davened in that shul. Afshu la yisr lo suskol dudu leka, even though there's no yisr derais of lo suskol dudu. Yishum shaleka chiluki dikur nusach habrachos hatfilas. Because fundamentally speaking, every nusach, really, the skeleton of tefillah is the same. From Sukkot to Zimra to Berachos Kriya Shema to Shmona Esrei to Chazaras Hashatz, the primary aspects of tefillah is the same. So you can't say it's an Isra Ma'al Tiskodinu. But Isra Sheni Shal Tisharim Pnei Machlokit Sadaika. But certainly, says Rav Moshe, the second rabbinic Isra, Isra Rabbana of Lashanos Mipnei Machlokit, certainly exists. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, one should be cautious. And his example that he gives is if somebody wants to say Vidu before tefillah on the tefillah sapayim, as is the custom of Sfarad, it should only be done if nobody will notice and if somebody can't tell that you're doing it, because otherwise it's explicit, it's outright. And as a result, says Rav Moshe that that's something that should not be done, and Rav Moshe is very, very adamant that something that's being done publicly and a minhag that's being practiced, if it's a conflicting practice from the shul that is doing something differently, one should not do so for the two reasons that Rav Moshe mentions. Rav Moshe in another tshuva, in Chelek Beis Siman Chav Gimel, talks about what parts and what aspects of tefillah are considered to be parts that are said out loud and parts that are said
quietly. As Moshe mentioned in his last tshuva, in Chelek Dalet Sim Lamed Gimel, the things that one is prohibited from saying are differently than the tzibur, are those things that require a minute. However, here in the second tshuva, in Chelek Beis Simen Chav Gimel, Ramosha indicates that not only is it prohibited to do something different than the tzibur for those parts of tefillah that require a tzibur, but here Ramosha goes like this and corrals and says that anything that is said be kol ram, anything that is said out loud, that, says Ramosha, is inappropriate, and those things should be said silently. But in this tshuva, Ramosha adds that even those things that require a tzibur should not be said out loud. Hanachom Anias Daiti, says Ramosha, Shibidram Shetzach Dafka B'tzibur, things that require a quorum, a minyan. Kemo Kedusha Mokroch Lomar Nusach Shel HaTzibur, those things you have to say like the minyan that you find yourself in. V'af Kishyom B'lachash, even though you personally are saying it quietly, and Yachol Lomar Nusach Acher, you can't say it in a different nusach, because that requires a quorum, and once it requires a quorum, those things must be said like the shul that you find yourself in. The Hakol HaAmira Asa HaTzibur Shul Ba'atzma HaYachol Lomar Klal. The Ein Omrim Kedusha B'Yachad. Ramosha says that if it wasn't for the minyan, you wouldn't be davening. You wouldn't be able to say these things, B'Tzibur. So because the Tzibur is helping you, or is aiding and assisting and abetting you in being Mekayim, those things that have to be said, B'Tzibur, therefore you have to say those things with them. And Ramosha says the same thing is true when it comes to the first part of Kedusha, like Naritzcha and Nekadish, that are not really part of Kedusha, that are add-ons, but because we understand that those things are considered to be like Kedusha, L'menagenu, Shomrim, Tzibur, Gamzeh, therefore those things also have to be said like the Tzibur. So fundamentally and categorically, Rav Moshe says that anything that requires a Tzibur or anything that's said out loud, those aspects of the tefillah have to be said like the shul that you're davening in. Something that is said in an undertone, silently or quietly, or something that does not require a minyan, those items can be davened in your own original, personal nusach, even though it's different from the shul that you're in. Says Rav Moshe, at tefillah b'lachash, what about the silent shmona esrei? Yachol lomar kenusach shiragil bo. You could say it in your own nusach, kem shu b'lachash, since it's said silently. V'lo shayach b'ze isra shinu b'nei machlokas. That's not going to be under the rubric of the isra rabban of shinu b'nei machlokas. However, afshom b'shtei nuskaros nechshav zet tefillah b'tzibur, kevon shem ispal miyachad. Rav Moshe raises the possibility that since your yotzei mitzvah tefillah b'tzibur as a result of the other people saying their silent shmona esrei, it would be problematic to do as such. Not everybody agrees to Rav Moshe, and certainly it seems and would be indicative from Nissan Karel's quote in the Chafetz Chaim earlier, that when it comes to the silent Shemon Esrei, it would be permitted to say the silent Shemon Esrei differently than the tzibur that you find yourself in. Now Rav Moshe has a different category. He says, Psuki de Zimra, Berchos Kriyashma, Shirishaylam Gamba Kolram, things that are said in a loud voice. Hanishma lacherim, when other people can hear it, yesh l'statik im rishay l'omr b'nusach shiragil b'lachash shelo ketzibur. Well, what do we do? Not things that require to be said out loud, like kedush or kaddish, but things that are commonly said out loud, but they don't halachically have to be said out loud. So many say it in a louder voice. When it comes to the Birchas Kriyashma and Shema, many people say it in a louder voice. Not that it has to be said, but that's what's done. Rav Moshe says that he's mistapik. He's not sure when it comes to those things whether I could say it like my original nusach, because it doesn't have to be said out loud. Or on the other hand, maybe it should be said like the nusach HaTzila of that particular shul, because you are ultimately saying it out loud. That's Rav Moshe's topic. But to summarize what we have up until this point, there are two reasons why an individual is prohibited from davening a different nusach than the shul that he finds himself in. Number one is the Isra of Lo Soskodudu, based upon a pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Yadal, pasuk Aleph, Lo Soasu, the Gemara in Brach, in Yevamoth, and Daf Yudbeis, Darshans, that's based upon that what Chazal explained, Lo Sasu, Gudus, Agudus, you shouldn't do a splintering halacha or splintering minhagim in different, under one roof. That's an Isra Diraisa, and this the Rabbanan is Al Teshanim Tnei Machlokas. They shouldn't do something differently that is going to cause a machlokas. Those are the two reasons. However, Rav Moshe and the Chafetz Chaim both understand that that's only talking about parts of tefillah that either require a tzibur, that require a quorum, like Kaddish and Kedusha, or the things that are said out loud, like Kaddish and Kedusha. But things that are said quietly, silently, or not undertone, or things that are parts of tefillah that don't require a tzibur, those things can be said to oneself. This is the commonly accepted psak halacha, Rav Moshe, the Chavetz Chaim, the Netziv, and the Tshuva Meshav Davar says and understands like this as well, and this is the accepted shot of Achronim, and this is commonly what is done and what should be done. So when it comes to a variety of different things with Tibur, with Tvila, this is how one should act in regards, certainly when it comes to things that are more obvious and Nikar Leinayim, when it comes to saying the tefillah or the before nefilah sapayim, Hashem Hashem kel rachum or Hashem nebegadnu, where it's very obvious and blatant that you're doing something different. If you're doing nusach svar as opposed to a nusach ashkenaz, where it does not do that, so to do so would seem to be a problem, according to Moshe, possibly Yisra d'Oraisa, and certainly Yisra d'Rabbanan of Al Yishana Adam Pnei Machlokes. I wanted to conclude the final tshuva that Moshe wrote in Chelik Beis Simen Chav Aleph. And this is regarding a situation where a shul, which developed as a Ashkenaz shul, but as a result of the changing geographics in the area, it began, the membership of the Ashkenazi membership began to dwindle, and the membership grew, and the membership that was growing was a nusach that were a group of people that daven nusach svar. And that group of nusach svar that started to grow and develop in their shul, shinu ezim in hagim. They changed some of the customs, so they changed Nusach Ashkenaz customs to Nusach Sfar because the majority of the shul became Nusach Sfar. The question was that appropriate what they did? So Moshe answers, Mekeren shem medina zudar mechol sviva gam anashim shem nagem b'Nusach Sfar mispalim gam kem b'Nusach Hesazu. Since there are many people daven Nusach Sfar in this particular shul, and they began b'meshach hayamim ezem en hagim shenagim b'hem mispalim Nusach Sfar, they began to do traditions and nuschos had tefillah that were sard, even though the shul developed as a nusach Ashkenaz shul. Pashut lanius daiti says Moshe, it's obvious and simple to him. Shimro hamispalim him elu the nusach Ashkenaz. If the majority of the membership is the membership of the original group of Ashkenaz, vadalohayalehem lahanig elu haminagim negev rov mispalim. Certainly they shouldn't establish the minority, shouldn't have their customs trump the minhagim of the majority. However, says Rav Moshe, im rov hamispal neimatim elu d'nusach svar, even if the majority of the constituency in the shul today are a group of people that daven nusach svar, therefore, says Rav Moshe, nonetheless, mistabish osur l'shanos minhagi hamakom, kevan shikasham gam harbim elu d'nusach ashkenaz, af shehem amir. Says Rav Moshe, even though the majority of the shul today is nusach svar, the fact that the shul started as nusach ashkenaz, and there's still a number of people who still daven nusach ashkenaz, even though they're a minority, it's prohibited to do so. So Moshe is of the opinion that once a shul is established in a particular nusach, even though the minority of the shul at this particular point in time is no longer part of the original group, and the majority that's taken over is a majority that has a different nusach, says Rav Moshe that it's prohibited and one should not change that custom. Moshe is very, very adamant and strong about that. Chelik Beis and Chafal Tar Chaim maintain and retain the custom that was established originally, even though the minority is of that original group. Nonetheless, there is a tshuva of the Marashtam, who preceded Moshe by a few hundred years, who says that he argues. And he is of the opinion that this is not what we would call a bona fide minhag, which can't be changed. It's not minhage iser. It's not something that is being established as a minhag to be set up as a safeguard for isurim. And therefore, it's not a real bona fide minhag according to the letter of the law in Hilchos Minhag. And therefore, it says Marashtam, based upon a few gemaras in the fourth parak, in the second parak, in parak Malkum Shanagu, it's permitted if the majority of the constituency of the shul has changed, and now the majority is of a certain ilk, and it's different than the original majority, says the Marashtam, that it's permitted to do so, again, not like Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe does make another two important points at the end of this tshuva. Says Rav Moshe, Dvarim chadashim shem is a stir l'minhagim harishon. However, to establish new minhagim that are not necessarily a conflict or a contradiction to the original shul custom, however, in the beginning they just never did that custom. But at the road to Lahanik, and now they want to begin doing that custom, certainly that's okay. If you have the permission and the ability of the Rav permits one to add certain customs that are not a direct conflict or contradiction to the original customs of the shul, that is absolutely okay as long as the Rav and the majority of the congregation sign off of it, and there the miut, the minority, follows the majority. The example that Moshe gives here is some shuls have a custom to recite Tehillim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or reciting LeDavid Mizmor, or V'ishi, until after Shmini Atzeres and the like. They're reciting Shir Malos V'Mamakim after Ishtabach, they're reciting to make Shuvah. To do that would be okay because that's not a steer, that's not a conflict to something that happened before. It just happens to be that this shul didn't do that. However, according to Moshe, to change the Hoshanos from either after Shacharis to after Musach or vice versa, that would be considered a conflict because there's a different traditions when to recite Hoshanos. Is it after Hallel or is it after Musach? Nusach Ashkenaz says it after Musach and Nusach Sfarad says it after Hallel. So therefore, since each minog has a tradition, so if the original custom of the shul was not to say it after Musaf, so now to recite it after Musaf would be inappropriate because that's a conflict to the original minhag. So Moshe lays down the foundation of this rule is that it's dependent upon the establishment of new customs is going to be dependent whether it's considered to be a conflict to the original minhagim that were set up. If it's a custom that's simply an add-on, but it doesn't conflict that which happened earlier. It's just that it wasn't done. It's okay. But if it's something that is a direct conflict to what was happening before, that Rav Moshe says should not take place. So you see, Rav Moshe certainly touched on the gamut of issues in the post-Holocaust era, in the 50s, the 60s, and 70s, dealing with many individuals who found themselves with many different traditions, from Russia to Lithuania, to Hungary and beyond. People came with a variety of different customs, the different schools of tefillah, and Moshe had to address those questions, and those are addressed in the Chalak and Beis Gimel Dalet, as I mentioned. I only cited four of Moshe's tshuvas on the topic. He has another two tshuvas, one where he explicitly addresses Chalak Beis, Simen Kuv Dalet of Arachayim, where he specifically addresses which parts of tefillah are considered to be Kol Ram, and which parts are not considered to be Kol Ram, and the Chalak Gimel. He also has a tshuva which is related to which parts of tefillah should be recited aloud and cannot be recited aloud, what should be changed and can't be changed. So it's clearly one can see the development of this aspect of a shiloh, which was not a common shiloh. In pre-war Europe, as mentioned, every place and town had its own constituency, rav, and custom, and l'davonenu. As a result of the Holocaust, and earlier as mentioned, post the Spanish Inquisition, as a result of Jews being exiled and finding themselves in different cities and towns, this was a question that had to be addressed. So just to conclude again, when it comes to parts of tefillah that are said either out loud or betzibur, those things should be said like the shul that you find yourself in. So if you're on vacation or if you're in a different country, community, or shul that has a different nusach than you do, make sure when it comes to those things that are being said out loud or those parts of tefillah that require tzibur, that you're saying it like the nusach of the shul that you're in, as opposed to the areas or parts of tefillah that can be said silently or are said silently or do not require minyan. Those aspects can be said in your nusach, in your original nusach, in your personal nusach, even though it's different than the tzibur that you are davening with. Thank you.